RadioInfluence.com.
You are in the trenches with former Buccaneers offensive lineman Ian Beckles on Radio Influence.
Hello, everybody. Happy Monday and welcome back to In the Trenches. This is Ian Beckles. Before we get started with some football talk, I want to give much love to our title sponsor, Hess Spinal Centers. They provide the best medical care for you and your family when you're going through this trying time after an accident. Being injured in an accident can be stressful for you and your family. So when you're going through this trying time, you got to go with people that have the utmost knowledge. And that's my people at Hess Spinal Centers. They have 16 Bay Area locations. And so there's absolutely one near you. You can give them a call at 1-800-618-HESS. That's 1-800-618-HESS. Don't stress. Call Hess. All right. This is In the Trenches. We talk football. We don't talk politics. It's just strictly football and everything around football. You know, my life, I won't say revolves around football, but has a lot to do with football, and it's been that way for a long time. I had a great conversation this weekend. It was Saturday night. I was sitting at home sipping on a Tito's and soda, and I look at my cell phone. By the way, if you have my number, don't call me because I don't answer my cell phone, but I look on my cell phone and I see Sapp. So Warren Sapp is calling me on a Saturday night, and I was wondering why. I was kind of scared somebody passed, but I pick up the phone, and there was Warren, as boisterous as ever, and we had a two-hour conversation. I don't talk on the phone, by the way. I never talk on the phone. I hate it. It might even be a phobia. And Warren and I talked on the phone for two straight hours about football, like literally, and fishing a little bit. I'd been fishing in Boca Grande, and he was cussing me out that I didn't hit him up because he lives in Hollywood. And that's only 20 minutes away. I thought he lived in Key West. So my bad. Next time I go out there fishing with Captain Marco, I'm going to call Mr. Warren Sapp. But we were talking about everything from Vita V to Gerald McCoy to Jason Light to the Buccaneers organization to defensive schemes. And we agreed with everything. We didn't agree with everything. We agreed with most. We didn't agree with everything. Now, I liked the pick of Vita V for the Buccaneers. I've been saying for a long time that the Buccaneers are going to get bigger and they get stronger, they're going to get a little meaner. You don't have to be 350 pounds to be mean, but it doesn't hurt. So this kid, you know, plays with a little edge to him, which is a good thing. And I think edge is something that's going to be important for the Buccaneers to adopt this year because they're not an edgy football team in general. He almost talked me off of my view. I don't concede to many people. Warren knows what he's talking about when it comes down to the Tampa 2 and, you know, this scheme and what entails to be successful. And he was basically saying to me, why do you think that they can change this system when it's been the same way forever? And I said, well, we really don't run the Tampa 2 anymore. We run a lot of different things. And this is a part where I never considered, and I don't know whether it's going to be a factor, but he's very adamant about this. He said 350-pound players can't exist in Florida. I never thought about that before, but I can't think of a 350-pound player that really excelled in Florida. We know it's hot. I don't have to say it's hot. We all know it's hot. But in September and October, that could wear on people, that's for sure. So he made me think a little bit, and that's good. Like, I'm not scared to lose an argument or a battle. I'm not scared. I don't think I lost it because we won't know until the actual football season comes around. But he made me think a little bit about a big, strong guy like that and his durability in the heat and the long season. And, you know, Tampa's a tough place to play. And then he said, listen, he's a West Coast guy. West Coast guys don't fare well in the heat. I've never got into it that deep for me. I never have. But it made me at least think about it. Now, as far as just a defensive scheme in the Tampa 2, I think Vita V can play nose guard. I do. I don't think he's a three-down defensive lineman, but I think on first and second down for sure. Third down, I would think, especially early in his career, they're going to take him out. Now, from what Sapp was saying, and Sapp has a direct line to Jason Light, I guess they're going to go with a 3-3-5 defense in nickel situations. For you Buccaneer fans that have been watching this Buccaneer team for the last few years, we don't get a rush on nickel worth a darn. And it could be 3rd and 12, and it seems like people were, you know, getting 3rd and 12s and 3rd and 15s just because of the lack of pass rush. And Sapp was adamant about hating the 3-3-5. Now, you have to understand that this is Warren Sapp, who pretty much was one of the pioneers of this Tampa 2. And that's his baby. And that's what he believes through and through. So he's not going to be a big fan of the 3-3-5. He wasn't a big fan of our personnel in the 3-3-5. And I'm not quite sure if we have it. I'm not. Because Gerald McCoy is still going to be a big part of what's going on in this defense. I would like to see him on the nose if we're going to be doing a lot of blitzing schemes, because that can put a lot of stress on the rest of the linemen. Now we're going to have some linebackers that can blitz. There's no reason why Quan Alexander shouldn't be a good blitzer. There's no reason why Levante David, Kendall Beckwith, we'll see if he heals up. And I don't know if he's going to be as much of a threat getting up the field because he doesn't have quite as much speed as the other guys. But we will see if we have the personnel to switch that up. It's a completely different mentality. And, you know, we have a different squad up front. So maybe that's not quite as big of a deal. Now, you know, Jason Light, Sapp was questioning Jason Light in some of his moves. And it's to a point where we should all be questioning Jason Light. If you're a diehard Buccaneer fan like I am, if you haven't made the playoffs yet, that's on you. And it's not going to take very long before, you know, shit's going to hit the fan if they lose 3 games and just take a peek of those first 3 games. I'm not really a schedule, watcher, but those first 3 games at New Orleans, home against Philadelphia, at home Monday night against Pittsburgh, has 3-0-3, 1-2 at best, unless we were a legitimate football team. And we're going to find that out real quick. But you can be a good football team. Listen closely. You could be a good football team and lose those 3 games. Those are 3 at New Orleans, Philadelphia, who's going to be flying high, and Monday night Pittsburgh. Ben Roethlisberger, I mean, Pittsburgh they got fiends all over the place. So, we agreed with a lot. We disagreed with a little bit. Whether you guys think it or not, we agreed with Gerald McCoy. Because I've always heard people say, well, Warren Sapp thinks he's good. We agreed 100% with Gerald McCoy. All right? It is what it is. Next year or this year, it's going to be like it was last year. It's going to be like it was the year before. And if you're satisfied with that, then you're going to be fine. If you're like some others that like to get a little bit more out of Gerald McCoy, you're going to be the same place. Now, for those of you that have questioning Gerald McCoy for the last few years, I want you to think this for a second. Warren Sapp was, quote unquote, one of the leaders on this team. Not a quote unquote. I'll take the quotes out. Warren Sapp was one of the leaders on this team the second he stepped into the locker room. Now, he was coming across as a leader, although he didn't play as a leader his first year because he was learning the football game. But I think he knew in his head he had Hall of Fame type potential because, he has a lot of ability. He has confidence in his ability. So Warren Sapp, definitely in his 6th, 7th, 8th year, we know he was a leader. And the defense was really built around him. For somebody who has been questioning Gerald McCoy's leadership and his toughness for years, and that's me, I want you to think for 1 second. What do you think would have happened if a third-year linebacker questioned Warren Sapp's toughness? What do you think would have happened next? Because you don't question tough guys. You don't do that. Who was the last perennial Pro Bowler that somebody questioned their toughness? That's what happened on our team. Quan Alexander, Brian Cox did it a few years ago when Brian Cox was a coach here. Quan Alexander, who is our leader, no quotes, he's just our leader on defense. That's the way it is. The attitude goes through him. He questioned and challenged Gerald McCoy to get tougher. So then do you think that he's the only one in the locker room talking that way? You can't be the only one with an attitude and think you're just going to blurt it out on television or in the news. It doesn't work that way. So if you're okay with what he's done to this point, congratulations, good for you. I'm not. I hope Jared McCoy's not either, because Quan Alexander's not. And I guarantee there's a lot of people, once again, Quan's, he's a leader, that are on his side that have his attitude. So it's going to be interesting to see this year how this whole thing goes. See what if there's a relationship or a funky relationship with Quan and Gerald. Because if I'm on a team and somebody questions my toughness, we're going to have a problem. You should have a problem if somebody questions your toughness. You're a football player. That can't happen. It can't happen in locker room. It can't happen on the field. It can't happen in the news, media, period. It's just, it's a problem. So I'm going to see how this year this happens. I'm watching Quan Alexander and I'm watching Gerald McCoy, because Quan, who told everybody I'm the leader and nobody's going to question him, might call him out this year. So, I mean, and if that happens, it all may hit the fan, that's for sure. So, you know, our Buccaneers this year, I'm scared because I'm getting that optimistic bug again, which I had last year, and I'm trying to fight against it. I'm not going to completely fight against it, but I'm going to fight a little bit because I was so darn, you know, disappointed last year. But it's starting to look a little bit better. It's starting to look a little bit better. I think the attitude hopefully is better. Now, Dirk Cutter has to earn his money. And Jason Light, this is it. I mean, if you get it done this year, and getting it done isn't going 9-7 anymore. Getting it done is going to be going to the playoffs. That's it. So the draft was just upon us. Baker Mayfield went number one. Now, everybody looks at that number one pick and says, well, this player is going to take the Cleveland Browns out of... It's been attempted many, many times. And for me, to bring a 6'1" quarterback with shortcomings is a problem, especially in a situation like Cleveland where they've never won. You know, that's been, you know, the graveyard of not just quarterbacks, but every damn position out there. And the problem is, for somebody like Baker Mayfield, who obviously wanted to be the first pick in the draft because you get the most money, you would think that's a great situation for a quarterback. But if you look at the history of quarterbacks, the ones that usually work out are the ones that get drafted later on in the draft. And that's not a coincidence. Like when you're somebody like Roethlisberger or Aaron Rodgers, who were waiting on draft day and end up getting drafted by good football teams, you think it's a coincidence that they have success before everybody else? I mean, if you get drafted 20th as a quarterback, that means you're going on a pretty good football team, a playoff football team. Aaron Rodgers happened with Aaron Rodgers, happened with Ben Roethlisberger, happened with a bunch of quarterbacks out there. It's hard to get picked number one on the crappiest football team on the planet and think they're just going to jump in there and be successful. You know, somebody like Josh Rosen who goes to Arizona. Arizona has good football players, and they know how to win. And, you know, a young quarterback can go in there, and maybe he doesn't get asked too much, but Baker Mayfield's they're going to ask a lot of him. And I don't think he's mature enough to deal with it. I really don't. And the things that I love to hear, and I hear a lot of people who didn't play sports, and it's not like you don't know much about football, but there's certain things that matter and certain people things that don't. I like when they hear somebody say, well, so-and-so is going to be so upset, he's going to have a chip on his shoulder because he got passed over by this many teams. You're disrespecting the sport. Just sit back and learn the sport and get good at it before you're talking shit to the other teams that passed you up. Nobody, you don't even know you're going to be good yet. Nobody does. And people like to say, well, Tom Brady plays with a chip on his shoulder. Tom Brady's the greatest player of all time. He was born with a chip on his shoulder. And the reason why Tom Brady was successful was not because he got drafted in later rounds. Tom Brady's successful because, I mean, he has a pedigree of a Hall of Famer. Not everybody does. But it's not because he's motivated that he was drafted late. That rent wears off real quick. Real, real quick. You need some luck. And you need a lot of ability. You need a great work ethic. All the other stuff, to me, doesn't even freaking matter. Now, during the draft, and I think this is really sad, actually. Speaking of Warren Sapp, you know, the day of the draft, there was a bunch of rumors about Warren Sapp failing drug tests. I don't know whether that was a rumor or not. It wouldn't be the craziest thing that happened. It wouldn't be the craziest story I've heard. And he ended up falling to the Buccaneers, which the Buccaneers were lucky. And sometimes day of rumors make you fall. That kid, Darius Geis, the LSU running back, supposedly there was a TMZ rumor about him that was going to come out, and nobody knew about the rumor. And all the teams were scared of the rumor. And they contacted TMZ, and TMZ was like, we ain't got no rumor. And the kid ended up dropping on the board, and TMZ didn't have a rumor. It's really sad that people can kind of steer the draft that way. You know, the kid last year that came out that was smoking weed and in that mask, and it comes out the day of the draft. I couldn't imagine waiting that long to get drafted, and that comes out the day of. Or a racist tweet from when you were 15 years old. Somebody must really, really hate you to wait that long before you come out. But, you feel for people now because social media, the media has always been steering stuff, but right now social media is steering a whole lot. And that's, it's a rumor mill, and that's it. There's nothing we can do about that. Now, our Buccaneers team, hopefully this year, is going to be as talented as any team we've seen. You know, Jason Light came out the other day and was basically talking about J.R. Sweezy, who was supposed to be the up-and-coming, the next great right guard. There's been some great right guards here in Tampa Bay, if I may say so myself. But J.R. Sweezy was supposed to be the next guy. And basically Jason Light came out and said, I don't have that much confidence in this kid. That's what he pretty much said. You know, he's nursing a foot injury. He's getting towards the end of his career. He's got a big salary. And time moves on. You don't have time to wait for people. So towards the end of your career, when you're banged up and maybe you didn't play as well as you should have the year before, they're thinking of contingency plans. And they've drafted some players. They brought some players in. So I wouldn't be shocked if you see J.R. Sweezy maybe even get released. I don't know. Maybe let him go through training camp. But sometimes when your general manager doesn't have confidence in you, sometimes it's better to just move on and go elsewhere. So let's keep our eye on J.R. Sweezy and what's going on in that whole situation. Now, there's some other players that are bouncing around. Dez Bryant is a player, as somebody asked me about the other day, and whether you think the Bucs should pick him up. But Dez Bryant is not a great football player anymore. I don't know if you want Dez Bryant in your locker room when he's a lesser player, because he's a very outspoken guy. He's not getting the ball. I think he's going to mess up, you know, whatever chemistry you do have. I don't know if the Buccaneers have enough chemistry to mess up, but you don't want a player like that in the ear of a young Jameis Winston, who really isn't that young anymore. It's getting to the point now where Jameis Winston really can't even really say he's that young anymore. So anybody who wants Dez Bryant, you're obviously not a Cowboys fan, because watching Dez Bryant at the end of that whole thing, he doesn't get any separation anymore. And he never was a real big separation guy, but now that he's getting older and he's lost a step from not being that fast, I just don't think he's that big of an asset anymore. So I just don't think he has a place here with the Buccaneers. We have enough receivers. Now, Johnny Manziel was trying to make a comeback, and, you know, he's playing in some cockamamie league. I don't know what league it was, but and he's still not playing that well, throwing interceptions and doing what he normally does. He's not a quarterback. Okay, he's a playmaker. He's not going to make it a quarterback in the NFL. This is never going to happen. Unfortunately for him, they just surfaced, or a lot of these pictures just surfaced of his old girlfriend and some pictures, and they had a picture of her back, and it had a bunch of bruises on it, and it's just not a good situation. He had a domestic abuse situation, and with the pictures coming up like that, it becomes very real, and a lot of GMs, when they see a picture like that, it's going to be a bigger deal, obviously. So those pictures of Johnny Manziel aren't going to help him in any situation. And it could be to a point where when they have pictures and they have evidence, if he ever does resurface in the NFL, Roger Goodell can say, yo, you're going to sit down. You got a suspension. It doesn't matter when it happened. You know, Ezekiel Elliott got sat down for a domestic abuse thing that happened in college. So if Johnny Manziel thinks he's going to come back, those pictures probably just ended his career in the NFL. I think Johnny Manziel should probably pop up in the CFL. I think he might be able to succeed in the CFL. That's possible. And another name surfacing in the CFL as well, Josh Freeman, is going to be playing in the CFL this year. For you Josh Freeman fans out there, all four or five of you that are still left. So You might see Johnny Manziel and Josh Freeman this year in the CFL. Definitely Josh Freeman. And listen, if you're a Johnny Manziel fan, that's okay. I just don't know why anybody would be, because he's never done anything all that enlightening to me. Jason Witten retired 15 years with the Cowboys. One of those dudes that didn't miss games, didn't complain about anything, played injured, played hurt. Tough cat, great hands, first ballot Hall of Famer. There's not much to say negative about Jason Witten. You never heard him complain about nothing. The leadership, work ethic, and you hear coaches gassing him up. You hear players gassing him up. So I hope Jason Witten gets to enjoy his retirement. 15 years is a long time, all with one team. That's almost really unheard of. And I'm sure Jason Witten's going to end up being in the, you know, Dallas Cowboy Ring of Honor and Hall of Fame and all the above. So great career for Jason Witten, and he definitely deserves every last bit of the accolades that he has gotten and he's going to get going forward. And I guess he has a gig already. It's kind of nice when you finish football, you get a high-paying gig, you get to jump up in the booth and roll around like Big Willie and get that big money. So big ups to Jason Witten. I think he's going to do a great job as a commentator. Now, Matt Ryan, nicknamed Matty Ice, which I think should be removed, because if you're up by that many points in the Super Bowl and you lose, you shouldn't have the nickname Ice. You definitely shouldn't. Just signed a 5-year extension for $150 million and $100 million guaranteed. Sounds crazy. It's just not. It's not anymore. You know, that's just the going rate. And for those people that get upset about these NFL players making a lot of money, you should be upset that the owners are making that much money, that they have the ability to pay these players, because the players earn every last penny of it. And Monday through Sunday, players are living the NFL. The owners, that stuff runs itself. The owners are not present. The owners don't make that many decisions when the football season starts. They really don't. But $100 million guaranteed, to the point now where I remember being in a league where, you know, I got in the league in 1990 where, you know, anybody making $1 million was a huge deal. You know, on the Buccaneers way back in 1990, I want to say that Vinny Testaverde was the only player on our team making $1 million, and he was the first pick overall in the draft 3 years before that. So it's crazy. There's a lot of money out there. But once again, please don't complain when you look back and you see what these NFL owners are making. They're making bushels and astronomical bushels of money. So that's why they have the ability to pay people $100 million guaranteed. I mean, the Raiders paid their coach $100 million of guaranteed money in John Gruden. 10 years, $100 million of guaranteed money. So John Gruden can flip everybody the bird in the second year and talk about the owner's wife and his daughter, and they got to pay him $90 million if they fire him. Isn't that a lot of power to give somebody, especially with somebody who has such a little person with such a big ego? There's going to be some people catching it, because John Gruden didn't have 1/10 of that much power when he was in Tampa, and he fired everybody. I mean, a la Donald Trump. Like, you look at him funny, you're fired. That's the way it goes. So I'm curious to see how that's going to work out. If John Gruden doesn't win a Super Bowl in the first 3 years, that thing is going to fall in. That's going to implode, and everybody over there at the Raiders organization is going to fall down in the abyss with John Gruden. Trust me on this one. Remember, I told you that. But I hope you guys are, I don't know if you guys are scared or what, that I'm feeling optimistic about this Buccaneers season, or maybe it's the fact that I'm just hankering for some football. I don't know what it is. Sundays aren't the same. I'm not a NASCAR guy. Our Lightning are going to be hopefully playing for the next little while, but when that's all over, there's really nothing to fall back on, and I'm needing football season right now. I think it's something that's necessary in my future real soon. If you guys have any football questions, please contact me, Ian Beckles at radioinfluence.com. I know a lot of you guys have questions. If you want to contact me social media-wise, it's at Ian Beckles, IanBeckles. And I'm pretty open. I can answer any questions, and I like to interact a little bit with everything happening social media-wise. So definitely want to follow me on that one. And once again, I want to give big love to Hess Spinal Centers, 1-800-618-HESS. Don't stress, call Hess. This is In the Trenches. We come in once a week, every Monday, talking about football. Sometimes I have a special guest. Sometimes it's just me. just venting, getting things off my chest. But we're always thinking about football. We're always talking about football. So we definitely need a football podcast as we're going forward. I know Warren Sapp said he has a podcast now. Maybe one day we can get him on. He's always very entertaining. I know I'm trying to get after Mark Dominic, the old Buccaneers general manager. Al Bubba Baker, some really good guests coming up. So we'll have some interesting conversations as we go forward and talk about what's going on with the NFL, our Buccaneers, and everything football. But I appreciate you guys listening in. I know it's off season, but football doesn't stop. Everybody have a wonderful week, and please be safe. Peace out.
You have been in the trenches with Ian Beckles on Radio Influence. This is the Landry Football with Chris Landry. Quick fix on Radio Influence.
I look at drafts and see how all these players fit or may not fit into the team's plans. How much these guys develop and how good these drafts look are going to depend a lot upon how you develop these players going forward. Good drafts today may be ruined by bad decisions in an organization, firing coaches too soon, not having time to develop or the patience to do it, not as good coaching, whereas maybe lesser drafts may be more successful because they do things the opposite. They're more patient. They develop players better. You win and you lose as an organization. And you don't define drafts on paper by what it looks like based upon some goofy mock draft that is really has nothing to do with what goes on inside draft rooms.
Chris Landry brings you Landry Football every week on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and of course, RadioInfluence.com.